At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Many villains, very little time. We begin immediately with Iran. Malcolm, in these last days, I've spoken with several of my correspondents about the Iranian bad actors in the Gulf, in particular attempting to steal a so-called sail drone. This is a drone ship monitoring the Gulf run by the U.S. Navy. And they were caught at it, but in any event, it pointed out the fact that the IRGC Navy is extremely active and provocative. That describes a country that is not settled into one way of dealing with the U.S. The Iran deal is still hanging over everyone's head. What can you tell me about the Iran deal now and then all the other malcontents in Iran?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of malcontents and it's a serious catalog of the issues. So the negotiations right now seem to be honestly on hold, even though a lot of people are skeptical about whether this is just another ploy. The big stumbling block, at least publicly, is the inspections by the IEA and the continued intent to for a condemnation because of the report and the demand that they be given access, as they are as Iran is obliged to provide to their facilities. You know that they remove the cameras, so they really don't have a full vision of what the installation of the IR-6s, the advanced centrifuges in Natanz, but it has been documented. And we know that they are working now, and there are some stories which I'll mention in a minute. But this already is a statement, and the fact that they are using this, and the Majlis, the parliament of Iran, had dictated that they not be allowed to, IA not be allowed to conduct the investigation. Obviously, we know what the findings are because the evidence is very clear. So this is right now the stumbling block. Earlier, it was the recognition of the IRGC as an FTO, foreign terrorist organization, that demanded the United States drop it. The United States said no. We think that they did a workaround about releasing members of the IRGC, companies associated with the IRGC, from the sanctions without removing the IRGC itself. Now, the Europeans are seeing a very different tune than they did last week. And members of the United States are also, American government, are also making clear that they think, as they said, they put it on hold. A lot of people in Washington believe that they're going to try to push it off until after the November elections. Because if they try to force it through and then they can't, the opposition can't mount the 67 senators, it will put the Democrats in very bad light and it will become a big controversial issue. So in the meantime, the United States sent two B-52 bombers down the Mediterranean through the Arabian Peninsula, the Red Sea, accompanied by Israeli jets and jets from Gulf countries along the way. These are nuclear capable planes, and it was showing that their ability to fly long distance. They started out in England, did the tour and went back. So this is an important message that the Iranians responded to. And by the way, they are contending now that Israel's membership in the CENTCOM is a direct threat. And they are talking about the implications of Israel's participation along with the other countries in the region in CENTCOM as a security issue for them. We see also the Iran is now making moves in various countries. They alienated the Albanians with the cyber attacks, and they broke their diplomatic relations with them. There are great tensions now with Azerbaijan. They are investing more and more in South Africa, and they're using the Palestinian issue for entree. But Hezbollah is very active in South Africa and other southern African countries as part of their outreach, building network of mosques, hospitals, other facilities. What is interesting to note is that each time the Iranians go and consult with the Russians, they move back on the process. And it's the belief that we have discussed for a long time, based on information from people inside the process and who know the Iranian side, that the Iranians are in fact being dictated to, both in Geneva and in Tehran, by the Russians, who have varied interests. One is to keep the price of oil high. One is to get the use Iran to bypass the sanctions. And what is ever in their immediate interest is what's dictating their position. We saw also that Iran now has come under sharp criticism in a conflict with Sweden because they try to steal nuclear weapons technology. And a new 80-page report came out that is so damning about the efforts that Iran is engaged in, these provocative actions around the world, and all of the deals that they could sign with them is not going to end this. And that's part of the naivete of the expectations. When you make a deal with Iran, it does not stop their activities. And domestically, as we've talked about the persecution of Baha'i, they made arrests again of Baha'i activists. But now they sentenced two LGBT activists to death. It was the court that found two people guilty of corruption on earth, I think was the way that they phrased it. But it was because of their activities as gay activists, and they are being sentenced to death. And you don't hear the outcry. You don't hear the kind of that you would hear reaction that you would hear in most other places. One of the interesting comments, John, was our friend Senator Menendez was speaking at a conference in Israel, and there he clarified an issue we were discussing the other day, if you remember, about whether the commitment to have to go to Congress by the president if they in fact reach a deal. And he says that there is such a fast commitment, a hard and fast commitment, that they are obliged to come to Congress for review. And that he announced this publicly, so this was not an inside meeting. And he said that his committee would conduct the review, and then it would be brought before the whole Senate on any agreement that is reached. So I think that puts to rest the question that many people have been posing about what the process could be.
Malcolm, I go immediately to the Palestinians because there's news of the PA and of Hamas and of the rascals, the PIJ, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. First, about ghost hospitals, quickly. What about the PA and ghost hospitals?
Well, we see the corruption of the PA, where two hospitals for which American money has been given huge amounts. There's a 50-acre hole in the ground in one of those hospitals with nothing there and nothing, no prospect of anything being built, and another which has state-of-the-art medical equipment, no doctors, no patients, nothing. The two-year-old Muhammad Abbas hospital near Hebron, completely deserted. And it's, again, another sign of the waste, the deception. And I know that the British taxpayers gave £200 million for one of those hospitals. And, you know, it's just consistently we see this pattern of corruption, and where they're talking about the needs of the Palestinian people, here's where it is. And there was also the EU this week condemned and blasted the chief of UNRWA, United Nations Relief Works Organization, which is in charge of the textbooks, because of very hostile, anti-Semitic, hate-filled books that were published just this July. And are being used. This is UNRWA self-produced educational materials. So we're seeing the escalation on both sides, by the way, with arrests being made in the Palestinian Authority and Hamas executing five people, for once getting some reaction now in the West. Two of the people they say were collaboration with Israel, three for other crimes which were not specifically identified. But they carried out these executions surreptitiously and then announced it. It's amazing again to see the triple standard that obtains in this. And then there's a conflict between Hamas and PIJ, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, over accountability for the deaths that were caused by the misfired PIJ rockets. And Hamas wants an investigation, wants to make it clear who was responsible. An investigation team got their hands on rocket shrapnel and showed that Islamic Jihad killed more people in that last conflict than did Israeli responses to the 1,100 rockets were fired.
I need some good news, Malcolm. Turkey's warship calling at Haifa. How long has it been since that happened?
10 years since the last time that a Turkish warship called at the Haifa port, it docked there. It's certainly a sign of the rapprochement. A Turkish destroyer the TSS Camaras came there. I think it's an important statement. Remember, it's part of the NATO drill that it was involved in, and Israel cooperates with NATO. If I can say one other thing on Iran, I just for people to understand how severe it is, they have now introduced facial recognition on streets and in public transport to identify women who do not wear the veil and the proper dress, and to be able to hold them to account and prosecute them afterwards.
And a final piece of good news. Honlein, I insist, Israel and Japan, what about their relationship?
This is very important news because it's for the first time the defense minister of Israel and Japan signed an agreement to step up cooperation in technology, military equipment, joint security. It's part of the expansion. I think the next stage of the Abraham Accords expanding to the Pacific area. I think it will open up the Indo-Pacific cooperation. It's a very significant development.
Malcolm Honlein, Mr. Rosy Scenario himself, always bearer of good news of the Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.